Today's scripture reading will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17 through 25. Didn't open.
Here.
All right.
Here you go.
For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will not destroy wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish of the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength.
Thank you. Thank you, Royal. Appreciate that reading. Technology is great when it works. Again, you got to try to get up here and try this. You think how hard that is. That's not easy to do, especially when it all works well. It's not easy to do. Thank you for that. Karen and I enjoyed our little trip to Arkansas. We got to see the children and grandchildren. It was fun. We were blessed. We did have a great event. Our grandson hit a home run with kid people on base. He learned a valuable lesson not to pass the runner in front of you. Did you know that? We're screaming, no, pass him. Did you know that? No, I know that now. But it was great fun. Thanks for Ryan for preaching. Thanks for all the great fellowship you had in the potluck. I hope that we're getting back to things in normal. And in that context, let me continue reading in our reading this morning to really set the stage, beginning at verse 25 through 31. The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think not of you when we were called. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We were blessed today to have a class finishing by Gary Freeman. Thank you for that. I'll teach a lesson next week on 1 John chapter 5. And then after that we'll study a series on salvation on Sunday morning in our class. But again, with the weekend and with the activity of this nation, let me stop and say and look at some slides with you about our veterans and our country. As we go through these, I want to remind you that Memorial Day began, as we learned, just about 10 years ago. And it's a great story. I'll get it to you for some time. From black slaves who were liberated from a concentration camp after the Civil War. And they were decorating. Technology is great when it works. I'm sorry. Decorating graves. But that story is for another day. But let's go through these slides this morning as we look through the truth of what's behind the flag, what the flag stands for. It stands for the people who bled and died and swore allegiance to serve this nation, many giving the ultimate sacrifice to give us freedom that we have. This last year, we are blessed by God to be alive. Many are not. We thought and saw things that have changed that we maybe thought would never see in our country. In other words, just because we're here today and have these freedoms today does not mean we'll have them a year from now. God is the one who gives nations freedom and peace, and God is the one who takes it away. Here, there are people who had to fight and die, making many sacrifices, some with their own life, to give us the freedom we enjoy. Many were just on a Sunday morning, December 7th, in Hawaii, shocked and surprised. They thought, well, here's another Sunday, no big deal, nothing going to happen today that didn't happen last week. And we see from the next few pictures what did take place on that day. It looked calm. This is Pearl Harbor from the air. But you know the events. You know the truth of the story of a surprise attack that left many dead, many injured, a nation shocked, hurt, wondering, where did this come from? Like a punch in the gut. The Arizona, of course, very famous. If you ever go to Hawaii, go out to the Arizona Memorial. It is a solemn experience. Or Arlington, if you're ever blessed to go there, it's hard to put into words. But here are people that have died and gave their sacrifice so that we could be free. We stand on the shoulders of those who gave their lives so that we don't speak German, Japanese, or live under the tyranny of somebody else. Again, these people thought it was an ordinary day. A lot of us thought this was going to be a normal year. It wasn't. What will happen this year or in our lives? It will be just a day that we think is going to be another day, and it will change our life completely forever. Here again, some of the scenes for Pearl Harbor. These young men, many of them very young, some brothers, you can look at the list, died for their country. Now, they signed up to serve, and at that time they were in peace. My father was in the military, had 6 months to get out, you know, working at Panama at a dentist's office. Well, that took a little longer than 6 months to get out. But these are real people like you and I with families, husbands, wives, children, in Arlington Cemetery again. A wonderful reminder that freedom is not free. Someone paid a price for us to literally have the freedoms we have today. And Jesus Christ paid the price for us to be spiritually free. It's not free when our sins, when Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who walk by the Spirit and not the flesh, are free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is very simple. We could talk about many applications. You sin, you die. Christ set us free from that as a Christian, and we're talking to Christians today, because we sin and he has died and he gives us his life. He paid for it with his blood. As we sang, we love him because he first loved us. It's hard to get a context of that, but this is the point and the lesson of what we're looking at today. There are Bible basics that we're looking at. We make choices, and there are many choices that make an impact on our life. Ron Clayton, a great worker for India, has passed away. And the choices he made one day to take a trip to India changed his life forever. Moses says in Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 18, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient and you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed." Deuteronomy 13, 15. Moses says, "I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." 30:19. "I set before you life and death." Proverbs 11, 19. "The truly righteous man attains life, but he who pursues evil goes to his death." Proverbs 14, 27. "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life and turning a man from the snares of death." Jeremiah is the same point. There's two choices. Jeremiah 21, 8. "This is what the Lord says. See, I am set before you the way of life and the way of death. John 5:24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes them, he who sent me will have eternal life. He who does not believe will be condemned, and he has crossed over from death to life. Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Jesus says in Matthew 7:13-14, there are two paths, two choices. The broad way that lead to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And their narrow way, the small gate that leads to life, and only a few find it. Two paths, two choices, and the decisions every one of us have to make every day. Two choices are God's plan to give Jesus a death on a cross, to give man hope. In our reading today, what it really says in several ways, that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. God on his worst day is better than man on his best day. Man thinks that he knows how to live and how to act and what to do and what not to do. In fact, all kinds of people are living by their desires and their thoughts and their feelings, and they're running their life. God has a different path. And so the question really comes down to us as the church and to every human being. Who will we follow? Which path are we on? What will we do? Will we listen to some of the commands of God and all the commands of God? None of the commands of God. Will we say, well, you know, it makes sense to me not to murder. God said, don't murder. I think that's a good thing to do, not to do, and that's wise, and I'm not going to do that. But then we get to other commands, and we think, well, I don't know about that. You know, everybody else is lying. They're lying, and it looks like they're getting away with it. It looks like they're covering their tracks, and nobody calls them into account. Everybody's cheating. I mean, I'm trying to do what's right, and everybody's just cheating, and they get away with it. Everyone, their brother, is cursing. I'm talking to the church now. And, well, you know, you get noticed when you use that language. Here in this context, everybody's sleeping around. Everybody says, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. We're married in our hearts. No, you're not. God gave a plan of two choices. God said, here's a direction. If you go this direction, I'll give you life. If you go this direction, you'll get death. Now, the real question comes down to who do we trust? Do we trust ourselves and our wisdom and our education and what we think and what our friends tell us? Or are we going to turn to God and his word and see what he says? God, on his worst day, is smarter than anybody else in this room. Do we believe that? Are we willing to put our lives on that and say, okay, well, I can see that in some things. And many of us have, and some people argue, well, baptism. You know, God's commands, whether it's communion, baptism, other commands, are very practical. He makes it possible for anybody to do them. Be baptized. He covers two-thirds of the earth with water. You know, it's not hard to do. Commune every Sunday. Wherever you're at in the world, you can do that. Even on the moon we talked about a few weeks ago, on Mount Everest, or on a submarine if you're in the service. It's possible to do. But here God says, repent and be baptized, to come to him in surrender to him. Many of us have done that. Many of us have made Jesus our Lord. But some argue with that. Well, what, you know, why should I do that? That doesn't make sense to me. And here's the same choice. Are we going to follow God and his word, or our wisdom and our choices and our direction? Now, many of us here have made the choice and made the commitment, been immersed with Christ, brought into baptism, brought into union with Christ, and were raised out of the water in newness of life. And now, as a Christian, we are on a journey to the promised land. We're not done. We're just getting started. And just because we have finally said, okay, I'm going to do what God said to do, and we're baptized, it doesn't mean the devil's going to leave us alone. Now, as a Christian, I get up every day, and I have a choice. Will I do it my way or God's way? And the devil is going to try and come at me to try to get me to go back to my old ways. Now, we often think of the grace of God and the power of God, as we go on mission trips, and we go, and I've been blessed by God to participate in some. I went to the Soviet Union, but it was back in Memphis, Tennessee, about 5 o'clock in the morning, loading brown trucks for UPS, and it dawned on me. I know you already got this. I have it, okay? Took me a while. Anywhere with Jesus. Anywhere. At school, at work, in the military, in your marriage, when you have parents, when you have children, anywhere. That Jesus wants to help us in every facet of our lives. And so we face those choices as kids. Okay, here's the commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, you know, most kids are like, well, you know, mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. It's the same choice. Am I going to follow their commands or not? Which is a little preparation for when you get to be an adult and now you have no parents over you. Am I going to follow God's command? Does God really know what he's talking about? Or does the world know what he's talking about? God's plan in Romans 4, 25 to 5, 1, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 5, 10, if when we were the enemies of God, we were reconciled to him through death of his Son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved through his life? In Tokyo Bay, to mark the end of the war, World War II, there on that famous battleship, the Japanese representatives were there, and they came up to the American representatives, and he stuck out his hand. The American representative said to him, "Your sword, sir," because they are in a state of war, to which the Japanese representative gave him his sword, signed the documents. The American signed the documents, and then the American stuck out his hand. For then there was peace. We were at war with God by how we lived, and because we were sinners, and God made an opportunity for us to be at peace with him through Jesus Christ. By his plan, his wisdom, his idea to take Christ, let him live as a human being, to live a sinless life, and then to die as a sacrifice that God had been working with the Israelites all those thousands of years for a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish to die in our place. So that our sins could be put on Christ and his perfect righteous life could be given to us. That's the core of the gospel. That's the only way I or you or anyone else can be made righteous. We have no righteousness of our own. We cannot be righteous because of how much we've given in money, how many good deeds we've done, how many sermons we've preached. We are, as Jesus says in Luke 17, to the 12 apostles, when you've done everything, say, we are unworthy servants. Well, if the 12 apostles are unworthy servants, where does that leave us? We're still only by the grace of God are we righteous. Now, here's the rub. As we get up every day, maybe we're thinking we're ourselves better than we are, or maybe we're thinking ourselves we're worse than we are. What will our choice be? How will we live? Paul writes in Romans 6, to those who have been baptized, now that we're dead to sin, the chapter is about death. We are dead to sin, alive to God. He says in Romans 6, 13, now offer your bodies as instruments of righteousness. Here Paul says we have a choice in what we do. As one who has been brought from death to life. Now, this is the spiritual realm. It often talks about death and life. 2 Timothy 1, 9 to 10. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. It has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and has brought life and immortality and light through the gospel. Let's go back to the reason of our reading again. Paul is writing to Corinthians. In the first book of Corinth, he writes, he says, I'd like to address you as, he didn't say adults, mature, but he said, I can't. I have to address you as fleshly, worldly. So everything in the first book of Corinthians is milk. Second book of Corinthians is meat. And so everything he approaches here, he goes down to there's two choices. What are the Corinthian Christians going to choose to do? And here in this context, he's describing the truth. That God had a plan. And to a lot of people, it looks foolish. But it's the wisdom of God, and we preach the message of Christ. God is able to save man through that message. in that context, we face those same choices every day. Our culture tells us, as a Christian, here's where life is. Here's what people who are famous do. Here's what athletes do. Here's what your neighbors at work or your neighbors or your people at work do. Well, everybody's doing this, and you can fill in the blank for what sin that is. But Paul writes, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Who and what will we use to direct our lives? That's the thing that comes at us every day. I told you, I think a couple of weeks ago, we see 5,000 advertisements a day. What are those about? Buy this product. You need this product. You cannot live without this product. And they catch those catchy slogans. They also use psychology to say, here is the most offensive commercial we could put on TV. And then they'll play it again. There's a reason they do that. It's not an accident. They're not sloppy. They know exactly what they're doing because you will remember it. It'll make you mad. You go, oh, I'm tired of seeing that. But you remember it. I could give you quotes from, and I've done it before in this audience, quotes from advertisements from the 50s or 60s, and you could fill in the blank. You wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth? You know, because you heard it over and over and over and over again. That's why we need the Word of God, because we need to put it in our heart. But here again, here's the key, verse 18 to 19 of our reading. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, God says. The two choices we have to make every day are we going to be like the world, or are we going to live like Hollywood, or are we going to live like God wants us to live? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life appeal to us to make us say, now that's how to live. Look at this person. I forget the name. I didn't write it down. You know, this person is not going to stop showing their body in a bikini. Well, there's a reason she's doing that. She wants to make a lot of money. She wants to be seen. And the lust of the flesh appeals to that. And so they put it as a hook to get us to see it. Oh, what's that all about? Well, we live by the flesh or we live by the Spirit. And the law of Spirit of Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death if we walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. For there's the two choices again as a Christian. Just a different word choice. The flesh and the works of the flesh are listed by Paul in many different books with many different specifics. Anger, bitterness, resentment, rage, jealousy, envy. And the whole list is there in multiple books. As opposed to love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And those are the fruit of the Spirit. Those are not something, okay, I'm gonna work on getting my joy today. And after I get joy down, I'm going to work on long-suffering. No. Those come as a byproduct from God by having His Spirit. God knows we need love. God is the source of love. Do you have too much love? Do you not need more love from God? God is that source. And so every day, we still have that choice. Am I going to walk by faith? As Gary talks about in class, I see that John the Baptist is a great fiery preacher. And yet he, even the period of his time, when it was tough, and he thought in a Roman prison, which is nothing to wink at, are you the one to come, or should we look for somebody else? He's a human being who had a time that he had to answer some questions. And Jesus said, blessed is he who does not fall away on account of me. Jesus said, have faith. He didn't answer his question in one sense. He did a bunch of miracles, which John would know the prophecies of Isaiah, that he's fulfilling them right down the line. Trust me, he says. But the problem is that Jesus is telling John the Baptist, it's not that I can't get you out of prison. I'm not going to. Now trust me. Ooh, be faithful to God, John, even if it's going to cost you your life. And why is John in prison? Oh, he stood up and said to the king, what you're doing is wrong. Queen didn't like that, had him arrested and put in prison. The king respected John as a holy man, but he didn't really do anything about it. Of course, you know the story of how he lost his head. Do we like the Word of God but not do anything about it in our choices? Here again, a guy who wrote a book with a homeless man. Great book, great movie. An art dealer gets to know a homeless man in Texas. And it was a very successful book, great book to read, great movie that they made of it. And so they're going on a book tour. And the homeless man goes to, I think it was Abilene, and he's talking to these students, and the students go, could we have a Bible study? Can we have a Bible study? And sometimes homeless people can hit you right between the eyes. He said, y'all are talking about Bible studies. How about have some Bible doings? You know, Bible doings. Here are the choices we make. God's way looks foolish to the world. As a teenager, as a young person, maybe as a married adult, God's way looks foolish to the world. The world says, sleep around. It doesn't matter. Everybody's doing this. But God's way is the power of God and salvation. God wants to change us from the inside out, to cleanse us of our sin and give us a different path. We often talk about how different the world is. I think we're wrong. I really do. When I was young, the biggest problem we had was, well, we're going to get caught buying alcohol because you had to be 21 to buy it. We're going to be caught as we walk in the door within our breath, or would somebody at church see me buy this? Or, you know, I live as a pagan, lying. Okay, I'll just lie. Why get caught? You know, they can't prove it as long as you don't write it down, right? Just lie. This is the basic core of all of the choices we make. Are we going to trust God, or are we going to do it our way, by our flesh? Will we live by our passions and our desires, what we want, or we do what God says? And a lot of us lived as human beings and went, as I finally went, you know, there's got to be something better than this. This is empty. This doesn't bring life. It does bring death. But it looks like it brings life. It looks appealing. It looks like this is the way to live. It's a deceit that the devil is throwing at all of us. And even as a Christian, and even Psalm 73, 3,000 years ago, the writer says, I looked at the wicked and they looked like they have no problems. Their bodies are perfect. They have no struggles. He said, I almost lost my faith in God until I entered the sanctuary of my God. Psalm 73, 19. Until he took the truth in his heart that there is a judgment day and we're all going to stand before God. Then all of that changes. Live by the passion, live by the flesh. Oh, but I'm going to die. What? Well, if there's no judgment day, Paul says, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's enjoy life. Let's take it. You know, here's one from the 60s. Get all the gusto you can get. Of course, they were selling beer, but who doesn't want gusto, right? Take life, suck the marrow out of it. But if there's a judgment day, oh, that's a different set of questions. If I'm going to stand, and I will, and you will too, before Jesus Christ himself, then that's a whole different situation. It comes down back to the same discussion. Will I trust God when it doesn't look like God knows what he's talking about? Will I trust God when you just go through the list? Okay, man, let's talk about lying. Talk to young people. Talk to Christians. Will we just start trusting God and stop lying? Tell the truth. What problems could you get into if you're always a liar? Well, you're a young kid person. You may not see that. The Bible has some internal things built into the world, or God has some internal things built in the world, a law of reaping and sowing. You can't control it. It's there. There are other laws that we understand very well, the law of gravity. You know, we didn't pick that. God put that in the world. If you say, I'm going to break the law of God, you're not. For the law of God doesn't say, this is what you're going to do. The law of God said, here's two choices, life and death. If you pick this path, it's life. If you pick this path, it's death. And God gives the choice to us. You can't break the law of God. You might be broken by this law, just as if we jump on top of this building and say, I'm going to break the law of gravity and jump. No, you won't. And here are the choices that we all have to make, and the new generations have to make. And God calls us to trust him, have faith in him, and say, this is the path to life. And don't follow the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. While the world is running full bore down that standard, down that life. One brother in the Lord thought he could lie and then later just repent and not do anything about it. Speaking about that, you know, that's kind of like I can rob a bank, keep the money, and just tell God I'm sorry. That's not going to work at all. That's your mind working out a way that you get to do the sin you want to do. You have to repent. You must be honest from then forward. And then here again, there are several things you can't undo when you repent. Murder is one of them. You know, if you commit murder and you can repent, people have been forgiven of that. David, Saul, and others are clear examples. But it's a change of heart, of moving away from sin and completely toward God. It's also, I don't glory in the things I used to do. Paul describes shame. Some people in marriage say, well, what you got to do is go back to your first wife and marry, and, you know, break up the marriage you're in and go back to your first wife. Deuteronomy 24 says that's an abomination to God. Now, let's at least look at the scriptures. We need to try it God's way. And people don't always follow the directions. Jesus meets the woman at the well, and she clearly, nobody, in my opinion, marries and divorces because they want to. Here's a lady who's been married and divorced 5 times and now just living with a guy. She doesn't do that, I think, because she's, I don't know, never met her, but she doesn't do that simply because she's rebellious. But her life is not working out the way it needs to work out. But Jesus talks to her that she can be more than what she's been in the past, her bad selection and bad choices. See, God didn't just say, well, I'm going to throw you in the garbage heap of eternity. No. He wanted to help her to trust God's way. Maybe think this morning about, I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe it's the temptation to sleep around. Maybe it's the temptation to lie, steal. Satan's working on all of us. There in that context, sexual sin is a temptation. One brother told me, he'd heard me say this before, been married 3 times. Later said, well, I've never been married. I said, wait a minute, how can that be? Well, we were married in heart. No, you weren't. It's just your temptation for rationalizing sin. It's amazing to me in many states, in many countries, in many people, in many situations. Someone who participates in that, when someone else sins, they want to kill them. Sexual sin. I don't know. There's probably a reason for that. But forgiveness and mercy needs to be more than it is in the church. Jesus says, if you don't forgive them, don't forgive them. God will stop forgiving you. See, we're not the judge and jury. We want mercy and grace when we make the wrong choices. But maybe we want to nail somebody else when they make the wrong choices. That's the wrong attitude, Jesus says. In fact, he says in the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Of course, they use the word debtors. Let's get down to what that really says. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Let's get down to it clearly. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us of our sins since I have forgiven the people who sinned against me. Oh, that's right where we live. Now again, we're back to the wisdom of God or the ways of the world. What will we do? These are the choices we all must make. Satan will rip on somebody and try to destroy their life, their marriage, their home, their future. And in that context, what will we do? What will you do like Peter if you find yourself in the middle of something that you never thought you'd get into? Now what? Is there possible forgiveness for you? Maybe it's something you ripped on somebody else that they did. Now, you see how easy it is for Satan to take a human being and twist them around. 2 choices that day, Peter and Judas. One had a heart of godly sorrow. It brought him back to Jesus. The other had a heart of worldly sorrow. He never brought his sin to Jesus. These are the choices that we all have to make every day. I don't even have to know what's going on in your life. The Bible tells us this is true. And it comes down to the wisdom of God and the foolishness of the world. What would be wise in the eyes of God is to listen to what he says and to live like he says. Or will be wise in the eyes of the world? Well, nobody apologizes. Nobody says they're sorry. Nobody. You just go through the list of what the world says, how the world dresses, how the world acts. Steal, it does. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. He gave proof of this by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. We're all going to be there. I don't know how God's going to do it. Maybe he's going to show it our brain such a marvelous thing, just open our brain and make it all play out? I don't know, but it's all there. If it's not there, he knows all things. But the core is that he loves us, and he wants to give us life, and he wants to give us mercy. You see, sometimes we forget and think, okay, I did it. It was wrong. I knew it was wrong. Oh, there's no hope for me. No, that's not the gospel. We make wrong choices. We get off the path. We go the wrong direction. And we need to see the core and the nature of God. God tells us, no, don't go down this path because it's going to destroy our life. God tells us, go this way because it's better for our life and gives us, Jesus says, real life or abundant life. But your core belief about God may determine whether you come to God with your sins or you walk away from him. 3,000 years ago, the psalmist said this about God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with life and compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not accuse forever, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Last week, Karen and I got on an airplane and we flew hours to another state. Hours from here. This verse said, God separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. God is compassionate and merciful and great. He doesn't want to throw your sins in your face. That's what the world will do. Think of that truth. Taking your sins, my sins, and separating you from them, let's say, Florida. They're not there. They're hours away from you. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Fear him involves surrendering and obeying him. This is the choice we must all make, and many of us have made the first choice of coming to Christ. We're talking to the church. Of course, this also works if you've never come to Christ and you're living like the world because you think this is the way to live. It takes faith to go, you know, or maybe like me go, you know, I've tried it this way. This didn't work. I think I'll try it God's way. And as a Christian, we should be willing to do it God's way. You know, it's just like I said many times. Christmas, I don't need directions to put this together. Do we still have those directions? This is directions for life. Basic instructions before leaving earth, Bible. Maybe your life got in a mess and you need to get right with God. We all have many times. God is compassionate and gracious. If it's a public response you need to make, why don't you come?